So, hello, this is Sally Larson. Some of you might recognize my voice. I'm a former women's show host. Today I'm going to be interviewing Beth Bartlett, who is a UMD Women's Studies and Political Science professor and author of a new book called Making Waves, Grassroots Feminism in Duluth and Superior. Welcome, Beth.
Thanks, Sally.
This book, it's so packed with stories about the feminist movement that happened here starting in the 1970s and continuing to the present. It's a compilation of stories of different organizations that began here and were developed by and served the women who had experienced domestic and sexual abuse and homelessness, such as CASDA, Aurora, the American Indian Community Housing, just to name a few. And the Women's Music Show was also a part of that dynamic. I'd like to ask you about the rise of the feminist movement in Duluth. What happened here?
Well, what happened here happened a lot of places in the United States and around the world, but it was rather unique here. What happened here in the early 1980s, before that, late 1970s, there were feminist organizations springing up everywhere around the Twin Ports. It had happened elsewhere before it hit the Twin Ports, but it hit here at a particularly important time. They were part of the second wave that had started around the nation in the 1960s, but it happened here a little bit later.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the second wave of feminism is and why it was important that Duluth was behind the times? I found that to be kind of an intriguing idea.
Sure. It's easier for me to talk about the second wave just by mentioning the first wave.
Sure.
Feminism, the history of feminism is always referred to in terms of waves. The first wave was generally around the women's rights movement of that began in the 1840s, largely with the Declaration of the Rights of Women in Seneca Falls in 1848, and generally considered going forward to 1920 when women got the vote in this country, and then it kind of died down. It wasn't entirely about the vote. There were so many things that the first wave focused on, but after we achieved the vote, some of the energy dissipated. But in the early 1950s, Simone de Beauvoir wrote The Second Sex. And that was a big wake-up call. And then Betty Friedan wrote her book that changed so much, The Feminine Mystique, that women started reading. And it was partly just beginning to read that. But also there was the civil rights movement. There was the student movement. There was the peace movement. And all of those women had an important role, but were often literally patted on the head. That's what happened in SDS, literally patted on the head and told to sit down, little girl.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, several of the women left these meetings and formed the organizations. And Red Stocking specifically started out of SDS, women being dismissed, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the beginning of what was called the second wave of feminism. And that went forward to late 1990s, 2000s, depending on where in the country you lived. And then the feminist movement began to transform some as it became more intersectional, as so many other new generations of feminists joined the movement. And so we are into the third and fourth waves. When I came here in 1980, I thought, wow, Duluth is 10 years behind the times. And I think that really helped the feminist movement here to flourish. The feminist groups that began in the 1960s were split between two groups. The one group was much more politically involved, probably had more status and were well connected politically. That was the Women's Political Caucus, the National Organization for Women that began in the late 1960s, those types of organizations, Women's Equity Action League. And so they were more focused on changing laws and policies and working through the system because that's what they knew and that's what they could do well. There was another group, the ones that came out of those progressive radical movements of civil rights and the student movement who knew about grassroots organizing, and so they got together and they started talking. And that's where you began to have the early discussions of consciousness raising groups, of sharing their stories again about sexual assault and domestic violence and being dismissed in progressive organizations and being secondary, housework, reproductive rights, all of that, run the gamut. That's what they were interested in. And they were much younger. They were much more radical. They were not interested in being part of the establishment. So there was that split. The older group, Betty Friedan is notorious about this, was not particularly welcoming of lesbians at first. Just fear that the anti-lesbian sentiment that was widespread in the country at that time would turn people against the women's movement more broadly. And so there was a gay-straight split that happened nationally as well. So you have those kinds of splits and fights that happened on a national level that didn't happen here. Those were already fought out by the time it happened here. It was the same people who were involved politically in this country who were also forming the consciousness raising groups. It was lesbians and straight women together forming the North Country Women's Center. And then following that, the North Country Women's Coffee House, PAVSA, and Safe Haven, and DAP, all of it. Lesbians were a really important part of forming so many of the organizations here. And had there been that gay-straight split, that wouldn't have happened in the same way. It also, in 1980, Ronald Reagan became president. And everything changed.
I remember that.
Everything changed. Yes. So many people talked about how everything changed. The funding for so many organizations that was widely available prior to Reagan vanished. Having such an anti-woman president galvanized and brought together the groups that had been splintered and got them really focused on political action and on focusing on the state and local levels because there wasn't going to be any change happening on the national level. In some ways, it brought women together who wouldn't have been and the feminist movement together. So you have the strengthening and the unity of the feminist movement in a way that it hadn't been before.